I'm delighted to have our brother Mr. Wolsey Smith with us tonight. As I have been announcing, Wolsey is an elder in our church in Portadown. He's my old Bible class leader. I'll allow him to tell you what age he is, but when I was first saved in Bethany, many, many years ago now, when I went through the door the first Sunday, Wolsey spied me as a young Christian, and he came over and he says, "I think you should go to the Bible class." And I started the Bible class the following week, and I learnt many, many things from our brother Wolsey. I don't think Wolsey's doing the Bible class now, but he did it then, and we do appreciate the things that we were taught in those many years ago. Wolsey, you're very welcome tonight. We welcome you in the Saviour's name. He's going to give a brief word of testimony, and then he's going to tell us about the work that he has been doing among the soldiers that have been going out to Afghanistan. And we pray that the Lord will bless him tonight as he speaks to us. God bless you. Thank you, John.
I just wondered who we were introducing there. I thought it was somebody else, really. Say hello, all them nice things about me. However, good evening to you. And I want to thank your minister for inviting me here tonight to give a word of testimony and also to tell you something of the work that we are engaged in this project for Afghanistan and the troops that are serving there. But first of all, I had an experience, you know, in Enniskillen. I used to be a postman after I was driving buses for many years, and then I was a postman. And I come up here to Enniskillen for the mail overseas and on down Belfast Way. And we come up in the lorry and we drove around the back of the post office to the certain office. And I then went to have my break and take my cup of tea, and I was just in the middle of that when all of a sudden there was an awful explosion and a bomb had went off in the street and the whole place shook, and I didn't really know what was happening around me. The dust and dirt were flying everywhere, and I just thought tonight that I would mention that, but I hope that it doesn't happen here tonight, that we don't have an explosion. I hope that the Lord will come in power amongst us and bless us each one, and that we'll enjoy God's presence here in this meeting. But anyhow, you've had your share of trouble in Enniskillen, and I'm sure that many here tonight have many memories of the atrocity that was committed in this town, and the massacre of people, and some heartbreaks, I'm sure. And as you look back on when that happened, I'm sure there are many memories with you here in this meeting tonight. And I share with you in your grief and pray that God will bless those that have been bereaved through that terrible event. However, I, as John has said, that I'll give a word of testimony, brief word, and then we'll talk a wee bit about Afghanistan. I want to read first of all from the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, please. Isaiah in the chapter 53 is a very well known passage of God's word. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his righteous shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. We know that God will bless the public reading of his own precious word this evening. Shall we bow in a word of prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy word. We thank thee, O God, for this chapter of thy precious truth that brings our thinking and our thoughts to the suffering of Christ. We thank thee, O God, that it was for me as all for me. Amen. O love of God, so rich, so free. O wondrous grace, I'll shout and sing. Hallelujah, praise his name, he died for me. And O God, tonight we come to this meeting, Lord, in the precious name of him who shed his blood as a ransom for our sin. And we thank thee, O God, from the depths of our heart. Amen. For thy grace and thy mercy toward us. Lord, there was no merits in our own self, but we thank thee for the blessed Savior and for his mercy toward us each one that know thee tonight. Lord, bless us, help us. Lord, we're weak, but Lord, we ask thee for thy help, and we pray that Christ will be exalted in everything that we say and do this evening, for we ask and we pray in the Savior's name. Amen. 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 I'm sure that chapter of God's word brings us to really praising God for what he has done for us and accomplished at Calvary. And the verse 5 of this chapter is very precious to me. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. I had one of the greatest privileges that any young boy could ever have had. I was born into a Christian home. Both my father and mother were born again of the Spirit of God and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. And that was something special, friend, to me. And if you're a young man or a young lady here this evening, and you have a Christian father and a Christian mother, then that is a heritage and a privilege that you should thank the Lord for. Many young people feel today, even in Christian homes, that the discipline that would have existed in my family and with my father and mother was pretty strict. And today, many young people just don't want to be restricted, and they want to do their own thing. But if you're here tonight, young person, you honour your father and your mother. If they're saved by the grace of God, that's something special for you. I was in Craigavon Board of Council in 1981. I went first to it, and I got many calls, friend, to homes, ungodly homes, where the father and the mother were out drinking and come back to their children. And I went to homes, friend, where I seen the terrible plight of a family with a drunken father and a drunken mother, and the children screaming their heads off. And it's not a pleasant sight. But young person in this meeting, I say to you, remember your father and mother. You might feel restricted, but they're doing it for your good. And you don't want to finish up on drugs and smoking and all that goes with those things. And so remember your father and your mother, if they're saved by the grace of God, you honour them. It's a gift from God. So please, young person, you might feel restricted, but they're doing it for your best. So remember them. I was born into a Christian home. Restrictions were placed on me. I just couldn't do what I liked. And especially when I was born. I was born on the 16th of June, 1931. And that makes me over 80 now tonight. So that's a while ago, yes. But I thank God for his hand upon me down through the years. I was born, yes, into a Christian family, and my mother and father, they belonged to the Brethren, and they went to the Gospel Hall at Ahore, and obviously I had to go along with the rest of our five brothers and sisters. So it was something that we had to do, and we accepted that. So every Sunday, during the week, if there's meetings come, we were made to attend those meetings. And we went. We just had to go. I went to those meetings for several years. It had no effect upon me. They preached the gospel faithfully. I had a faithful teacher in the Sabbath school who told me the way of God's salvation, who warned me faithfully, friend, that there was a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Told me about the Savior. Told me about Christ that died at the cross to save me. And if I put my faith and trust in him, I would be saved eternally. But I never done anything about that, friend, at the time. And the years slipped by till I reached the age of 12. 12-year-old. And a servant of God who had been a missionary in Africa came to preach the gospel and have meetings in our locality. As usual, we had to go along to those meetings, whether you liked it or not, and we went. It had no effect on me for the first short time of the meetings. But coming into the second week, the Lord began to speak to my young heart. And for 2 weeks, friend, I was under deep conviction of sin. I can recall where an old lady, she was in her 80s, and I used to go up to her home. I went up to the home, and she asked me what was wrong with me because I was crying, and I told her. And she says, "Well, you've got to see the preacher, or I can't help you." Anyhow, She had a big raging fire going, and I looked into that fire, and you know, I thought to myself, if hell is like that, well, I surely don't want to be there. And I looked into that fire, and I was troubled in my soul, friend. And I was afraid even to go to bed at night, for afraid that I might die during the night, or that the Lord would come, and I would be left to go to that place. And that went on for 2 weeks. And then one Thursday night, on the 4th of February, and I had been trying to get saved, and I was actually depressed through trying myself to get saved. I wanted to get saved, but I couldn't see it, friend. Anyhow, on the 4th night of February, 1944, and that's 67 years ago, friend. And that night, the preacher, I do not know what he was preaching about, but the Lord was still dealing with my young heart. And the Holy Spirit revealed to me this verse of Scripture in Isaiah 53 and verse 5. And I seen in this text of God's Word that he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. And God's Holy Spirit, friend, took hold of my young heart and showed me that he was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes I was healed. And there and then, friend, I seen that it was for me. And the Holy Spirit opened that verse up in my young heart, and I reached out in faith and trust Christ as my Savior. About the fourth row back from the front, I can remember it so well. And that night, friend, I passed from death unto life, and I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And thank God for the simplicity of God's precious way of salvation, that even a child of 7 or even 3 or 4 can enter into heaven through Christ, the open door. And I came to Jesus weary, worn and sad, and thank God I found in him a resting place, and he made me glad. And thank God the promise that he gave me, that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And for the past 67 years, friend, he has been my Savior. And I look forward to one day seeing him face to face and sing that story, saved by grace alone. And that's what it is, friend. No merit in me. I was a guilty sinner on the road to the pit, friend. But God reached down in mercy into my young heart and rescued me. And I thank God for that day in my life when I came to the Savior. And I praise God for his goodness to me down through the years. I have failed, yes, on several occasions, friend. But thank God that promise was still true. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And tonight is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I was baptized and received into fellowship in the Brethren Assembly. And I referred there to a time of failure. There was a time of failure when I drifted away from the Lord and got away from God. But thank God he came. And I don't know whether you would, maybe some people here would remember a man by the name of K.R. Iverson. And he came to put it down. And John's uncle, Samuel Gray, invited me to go along to those meetings. And I was persuaded to go. And the girl that I met, that I married on the 2nd of August, 1956, I got to know her because I was a bus driver at that particular time. And I asked her, would you come to these meetings over in Lurgan? And I, after a lot of persuasion from Samuel Gray, I eventually went. And I was restored again to my first love for him. And those years that I had spent in exile away from the Lord, walking afar off, God restored to me the joy of his salvation. And we praise God for, I thank God for Samuel Gray. And my wife was not saved then, but two nights after we had been out together, and she came out this night and she said to me, I have something to tell you, I've come to Christ and I've got saved by God's grace. And really that we went in that condition into our marriage. And thank God for his hand upon us down through the years. And God has been merciful to us. I think that I can't let this service go by without reading a thing that Victor Maxwell said about my wife. And I want to read part of it because it's so precious to me. It says, and he said these words, how can one measure the greatness of a life and the love of a mother? A mother is a mixture of patience, kindness, understanding, diligence, discipline, and love. How can we ever estimate the value and influence of a Christian and praying mother? She brings the added virtues of grace, godliness, Christ-likeness to her family. In fact, she brings Jesus Christ to the home. Those are words I never forgot, and it was a fitting tribute to my wife. In the early days of the Free Church in Portadown, I was so busy, and she was looking after the children, and it was run all the time, and she was looking after the family. We had six children, and one by one they came to the Lord. And it was through the labours and the patience that Victor Maxwell expressed at our funeral that really God's hand was really so much upon her. And she died, passed away 12 years ago. It hasn't been easy, but one has to try and get on with the Lord's work. And it bothers me a bit sometimes. I miss her so much. But she's with the Lord tonight, and we thank God for the testimony that she left behind. And I thank God for ever saving me. It's in my heart every day for him, a praise and thanksgiving to God that I, a poor, wretched sinner, God could look upon me in mercy and save my precious soul. I thank you for listening. Pray that God will bless his word to each of our hearts for his name's sake. Amen. Now, we want to talk a wee bit about Afghanistan. I had a grandson who joined the British Army, and he got put out to Iraq for a tour of duty. Thank God he came back safely, and he spent then a year at home, and he was sent to Afghanistan. And really, I was very upset about it because there were so many young men been killed, and it sounded such a dangerous place to be. And I can understand how parents feel concerning their young sons and young daughters that are out there. In God's good plan, he came back safe from Afghanistan, and it left something with me that here, with these young men going out to Afghanistan to do their service for their country, and remember, they had no choice in the matter. And the issue really was not that they had a choice of going, but because they had to go once they were ordered to go. However, it really began to speak to me, and God started to speak to my heart about this thing, and I felt that there was something that we could do to maybe bring the gospel in some way to these young men out on the front line in Afghanistan. So I come up with the thought, and I believe it was the leading of the Lord, that here we could send out some Christian literature plus some other material in boxes to them, and good tracts that would the Reverend Alan Kearns' track, A New Beginning. This was at the start, and this is 2 years back. So we started putting up shoeboxes, and we put this literature all into the shoeboxes, and we got contacts with army officers in down in Belfast at Palace Barracks, and they got them and took them and sent them out to the boys in Afghanistan. And then after a time, we discovered that Trinitarian Bible Society were producing camouflage Bibles for the troops. And this is the Bible that they were producing for the troops. And it says on the back, Authorized King James Version, and it's for the armed forces. And these are the Bibles they cost us. They're listed at £6 something, and we managed to get them for around about £4 each. And then we felt that they produced, along with that, this daily light, and it illuminates the Bible so clearly. And we decided that we would try and gather up money, and I talked to the session and committee, and I also spoke to the workers in the children's meeting, and we got this project going off the ground. And we initially got quite a bit of money come in. Now, the first lots we sent them out was 100 at a time, and to date, we have sent out just over 1,000 boxes with the Bibles plus all this stuff here. I don't know where you can see or not. But we felt, and I felt very clearly, that faith without works is dead. And I felt that perhaps if we put up the box and place the Bible and the literature in the box, and we were sending them out at that stage in shoeboxes, and we felt that it was going so well that we would get boxes made, and we got these boxes here made, and in it is contained sweets, gels, deodorants, all kinds of stuff, links. I don't know what you call that. John maybe would know about that. Toothpaste, toothbrushes, and socks, face cloths and soap, and all kinds of stuff that we were advised by the army people what they would need. Baby wipes, very important to them out there, and we were advised by the army what we should have in them. But we put the things that we were after were really to get the word of God out to these boys. So we got these tracts specially produced for the military when the bullets stop, and then weapons of mass destruction, and they're all military related tracts that we got specially done. And then we sent Reverend Alan Kearns' book, new beginning. And then we sent this here, and it's a wee message that King George VI quoted at the Second World War, and he made a broadcast to the nation in the time that Germany came and we were involved in the Second World War, and it says, "I said to the man at the gate of the year, give me a light that I might tread safely into the unknown. And he said, put your hand in the hand of God, and that shall be better than a light and safer than a known way." My father always had a lot of regard for King George VI. He reckoned he was a Christian man. And I believe that too. That was his message to the nation. You wouldn't hear it today. Cameron wouldn't be issuing a message like that today. So, those are the things we sent out. The last batch was 600 troops. And we sent 600 Bibles, 600 of everything that I've tried to explain to you here. We sent out to those 600 men in September last. And then we started to get feedback from these boys. And I think the Reverend Gray had referred to it that, well, there wouldn't be maybe many of them there, but if you take one for the family, and I'm going to read just now to you just what they're saying. And this is one young man. I just thought I would write a letter to thank you for taking the time and effort to send parcels to service members based in Ulster serving in Afghanistan. It's very much appreciated by ourselves that people back home are thinking of us and showing support for soldiers in difficult times serving in Afghanistan. All contributed items are well received and a source of morale for the lads. And although a lot of soldiers and churchgoers themselves in difficult times would be looking to God for strength and support, once again, thank you for your support and effort supporting the troops in Afghanistan, Barry. Dear friends, I'm writing to thank you all for the support and also for taking time to put together such a wonderful and thoughtful box. Although I was given your fantastic gift as an individual, I've shared its contents among my comrades. You can therefore be satisfied that each box you send will make a difference to several soldiers. When these boxes arrive, you should see the faces of all the men as if it were Christmas Day. They light up and smile, fill our faces for those few minutes. Myself and my comrades are all a small base on top of a hill at Hemel Province, surrounded by quiet, beautiful mountains. When time allows, we are very surreal to sit and look into the quiet, vast landscape. Receiving your gifts takes our minds away from all the bad things that happen out here and reminds us to focus on the love and support from home, the love and support people like yourselves. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you on behalf of my friends. And that's from a Lance Corporal out there. Dear friends in the Free Presbyterian Church, a most heartfelt thank you for the kind charity. Not all of the soldiers in my platoon receive gifts from back home, so it was nice to be able to share and read your letter, and then in particular reminding them that their work was appreciated by many. The fact that your parcel came from good-natured people and with all good wishes of people at home we have not met is genuinely touched. We are genuinely touched and we are very appreciative of your support. Although not all soldiers are religious, they are grateful for your prayers, which is my personal conviction will be a powerful defense for them. I can assure you of our prayer for your continued good work and kindness, and again, thanks of the platoon. God bless us from it, Lieutenant. This here is obviously from a Christian out there. Dear friends, greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would like to say thank you for the parcel you sent me over here. I really do appreciate the good job that you're doing for the troops in Afghanistan. May the good Lord bless you all and multiply your finances abundantly so that you can be able to bless others with the wonderful parcels you are sending us. It's not easy staying here for 6 months for us and our families and friends back home. It is my pleasure to ask your church to please pray for us, our families and friends back home, and to be courageous until we meet again in Jesus' name. Pass my greetings to the whole congregations and many friends, and may the Almighty God bless you all. Kind regards, and that's from a lieutenant. Hello there, this is Joshua Gunnar Goldbach. I got a parcel off you the other day, which is most appreciated. Thank you all. I must be honest, I have never read the Holy Bible. However, I have made a start, and through some difficult times, I have asked for strength and courage for my family, my comrades and myself. I thank all the children and all that is involved. That is much appreciated, that you are showing us your support as often as we feel forgotten. I plan to keep reading the Holy Bible until the end, and I shall write to you on completion. In case I don't hear from you, I wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and I hope you and everyone else take a minute to think of those who are away from home, for families that have lost their children, parents, through war. Once again, thank you, and that's from a private. You can read that for yourself, there's some more in it, but there's a lad, anyhow, he has started to read this Bible. And we would ask you to take these fellows upon your heart, and the Holy Spirit can lighten this word to them, show them their need of Christ, that they might come to know the Savior. That's the purpose of the whole project. And we pray that God will bless us in the future. There's 600 more troops going out in January, and we have started now to put together for them leaving. And we'll be putting the Bible, Daily Light, these tracts, letter. We send them this letter here with every box. I'll just read it to you too. And this is what we've said to them. Bethany Free Presbyterian Church and other Free Presbyterian churches. Dear soldier friend, the workers of the above meeting and the Free Presbyterian Church felt they would like to show their gratitude to you in your service for Queen and country in Afghanistan. It is with this in mind we decided that we would show you our support in a small, tangible way. We appeal to our congregations and also through our church magazine and have been surprised by the response. We would like you to accept this parcel as a token of our support. You are assured of our thoughts and prayers as you carry out this difficult duty. Also, your families at home who would naturally have serious concerns. Finally, we would recommend to you Field Marshal Montgomery as he encouraged his troops in the time of the Second World War with the words of Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We wish you a safe tour of duty. We'll be praying for you and your families. And that's roughly what we're doing, friends. And any help that we can get is very much appreciated. And best of all, we have the weapon of prayer that we can pray for these fellows, that God will open their hearts to the gospel message and they'll come to know the Saviour. It would be great news to hear of even one coming to Christ. So do pray for them, please. I'll not take up the minister's time anymore. I thank you again for the opportunity, Mr. Gray, for coming tonight to tell you something, to tell you about the Lord saving me so many years ago. And also, brother, for attempting to lift an offering. That's something special. Thank you very much. And thank you for listening.
I'd like to thank Mr. Smith for coming along tonight and for sharing his testimony with us and for telling us a little of the work that he has been doing, sending these Bibles out to the troops in Afghanistan. When our brother was speaking there, the text of Scripture came to my mind, "The entrance of God's word giveth light." It's not a tremendous text of Scripture. And we know that the Bible is God's precious word, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I'm reminded also of the words that Paul spoke to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And I know that it's our brother Wolsey's prayer that not only that the soldiers read their Bibles, but that they come to a knowledge of sins forgiven, and that they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Saviour. You know, there are so many things that we take for granted. We take for granted that we have a Bible, that we have a copy of the Scriptures. We take for granted that we have the liberty to meet in this fashion, to preach God's word. I wonder, is there someone here tonight? And the meeting is over. But I wonder, is there someone in the meeting tonight and you have never taken the time to read the word of God? As our brother Woolsey was reading out some of the replies there, it was evident that many of these young men never took the time perhaps to read the Bible before. But because of their circumstances now, in the front line of the battle, they're taking the time to read God's word. God has brought them to a foreign country so that they would read the Scriptures of truth. My friend, I wonder what God is going to have to do in your life in order to make you read the word of God. I wonder what God is going to have to do in your life in order to make you heed the word of God. So often throughout our lives, we don't take the time to find out what God would say to us. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian and you're not saved. Oh, I would say to you tonight, take the time to read God's precious word. Because it's the entrance of God's word that giveth light. Gospel light. And my friend, if there's something that you need tonight, it's gospel light more than anything else. You need to know the way to heaven. You need to know how you can be saved. You need to know that there's a heaven and that there's a hell. You need to know that the Lord Jesus Christ has died and shed his precious blood. And thank God these wonderful truths, these solemn truths are all found in the Bible, the precious word of God. I wonder, even as you've listened to Woolsey's testimony tonight, and what a wonderful testimony it was, how the Lord spoke to him even as a young boy and saved him as a young boy. Would you not heed the call of God tonight and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart as your own and personal Savior? Thank God you can be saved tonight and you can be redeemed tonight by trusting the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer. The hymn writer penned it well, you know, when he wrote the words, "Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now." And He will save you now. Thank God He has promised to save to the uttermost all that come to Him. And thank God He will not cast you out. But this night He will give you everlasting life. I pray that you'll pray the sinner's prayer tonight. "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Why sin away? Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." And child of God, let us not forget to pray for the young men and women of our armed forces that are serving in Afghanistan. And even as the Bibles go out again, and those that are out now, that the Lord will use them. Use them to the salvation of many, many precious souls. Let's have a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Your presence with us tonight in the meeting. We thank Thee, Lord, for a clear-cut testimony. We thank Thee, Lord, for the day when You saved our brother Woolsey, and for the day when You spoke to him. And we thank Thee, Lord, for the way that You've blessed him down through his life. And we pray, Lord, that You'll continue to bless him. Bless him, Lord, as an elder in Bethany. Bless him, Lord, as he would seek to send these Bibles out. Oh God, we pray that indeed there will be much fruit for his labor. We thank Thee, Lord, that little is much when God is in it. We thank Thee, Lord, that even for this news of this young man who has never read the Bible before, starting to read God's precious, precious word. Oh God, I pray for those here tonight who have never read the Bible, never sat down and opened God's word and read the scriptures of truth. Oh God, I pray that You'll speak to their hearts in such a way and cause them, Lord, cause them that anxious thought that even tonight they will consider their eternal destiny. Oh God, even as our brother was speaking, how the flames of that open fire reminded him of hell. Oh God, what a terrible thing to be lost in hell forever, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I pray tonight, Lord, that You would cause men and women and young people to consider where they're going to spend eternity. And even tonight, Lord, that You would draw them lovingly and eternally to the foot of the cross. Oh God, bless Your word to our hearts this night. We thank Thee, Lord, for the word of God that has gone forth this night. Bless it to every heart. And bless our brother Woolsey. And continue to give him good health and strength and soundness of body and mind. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Folks, do remember the retiring offering tonight. And give as the Lord has laid upon your heart. God bless you.